I want to review the basic facts that we talked about last week concerning the return of Jesus. Number one, Jesus will come again. You cannot read and believe the New Testament without understanding Jesus is coming again. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. It's a personal return. It's a visible return. We're told that every eye shall see Him. It will be suddenly. In fact, we're told that when people are not expecting Him, in that hour He's coming. The second fact is that that day and that hour is already set. From the day that Christ ascended until the day that He returns, the date is set. And nothing and no one can change it, but according to Jesus, no one, no man, no angel knows the day and the hour, only God the Father. But here's the third thing that the New Testament tells us, and that is that there will be signs which indicate when the return of Jesus is near. And today, the Holy Spirit has led me and blessed me, even as I prepared this message, to examine the signs which the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus put into the Bible about His return. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. And I'm going to let you, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, decide yourself. Could we be living in the last days? Could this be the generation that Jesus said will not pass from the earth until we see Jesus return? Well, you know what I'm going to say next. Let me see your Bible. Every person, wherever you are, take that Bible, have it in your hand, and wave it at Brother Gene. And after you've done that, I want you to take the Word of God, and I want you to open it to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. We'll be putting the scriptures on the screen, but I still like open Bibles. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 21 and starting at verse 25. But before I read one word, let me tell you, every word we're going to read are the words of Jesus, recorded in the Word of God. And let's see what Jesus said about signs indicating His return. In Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25, Jesus said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity." Notice it's plural. Issues going on all over the world with perplexity. In other words, no solutions. "And the sea and the waves roaring, nature even declares when He will return. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. The powers of heaven shall be shaken." And here it is. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." And then Jesus makes this remarkable statement. Look at verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass," when they start happening, "look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh." The first century Christians would say, "Maranatha, He is coming." Now I want every one of you, wherever you may hear listening to this message, get you a notepad and a pen and get ready to write down some of the signs of the Lord's return. Sign number one is the return of the Jews to Israel. I want to begin this message with the most biblical, well-known, supernatural fulfillment of prophecy. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, after the fulfillment of this first prophecy, we have seen an escalation of the fulfillment of other prophecies. You're going to see that as we go through the message today. Now let's talk about the return of the Jews to the promised land. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,700 years ago, the Holy Spirit wrote in this Bible several different times that in the last days, the Jews will return to the promised land. Look on the screen in Isaiah chapter 11. It is just so clear, so graphic now that we have seen this fulfillment. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse." Jesse, of course, the father of David. That's the Jews. "Which shall stand for an ensign." Something is going to happen that becomes a sign to people. Oh, even the Gentiles. Not just a sign to the Jews, but a sign to the Gentiles as well. Well, what is that sign? Look at verse 11. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people." All Bible students know that's speaking about Israel, the Jews. "Which shall be left," and they're going to come from Assyria, they're going to come from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Sinar, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea. In other words, from all over the world. Here it is again, verse 12, 13. "And he shall set up an ensign," a sign for the nations, for the whole world. "Because he shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." This next verse will blow you away. "And they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines." Wait a minute. Stop there for a moment. Isn't it amazing that 2,650 years before the invention of airplanes, God wrote in the Bible that when the children of Israel return to the promised land, they're not walking, they're not riding in a boat, they're going to fly in their return. They've been scattered all over the world, and they're going to fly back to the promised land. And look at the next verse. "And they shall spoil them of the east together." Now, everybody knows spoil. That's something that a victor takes in celebration of conquering an enemy. What could this possibly be? Before this generation, we're kind of clueless. But ladies and gentlemen, history students know that it was the atrocities of Adolf Hitler and World War II. And when that war was ended and the revelation of what was done to the Jews caused the nations of the world. Yes, Gentiles, people who normally don't even like the Jews, the whole world set out to help the Jews. And it was the nations of the world that established them as a nation and protected them by the United Nations and the countries, the civilized countries of the world. God said it. And it will happen. And beloved, it did. In 2600 B.C., God spoke through another prophet named Ezekiel. Look on the screen what God said. And keep in mind, these things were written in the Bible 2,600 years ago, long before their fulfillment. He said, "And I will say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen whither they have gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel." Well, God said it 2,600 years ago. Can He do it? Well, He's already done it. The fact is, every student of the Bible needs to know this. On May the 7th of 1948, Israel was established as a sovereign nation. And millions of Jews from all over the world began to return to the promised land exactly as God said it would happen. In fact, there's another amazing prophecy. Look on the screen. Isaiah 66:8, ask a question. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Well, as soon as Zion, that's the Jews, travailed, she brought forth children. Students of history know, you don't gain independence from a strong nation quickly. And how many of us have read how America fought for years and all the bloodshed that went into making America independent from England? And yet here in the Word of God, He says that Israel is going to become a nation in one day. Suddenly. And we know that it happened. And no one but God could have done it. In Ezekiel 37, this is an amazing prophecy. Look at verse 25. "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers dwelt." Abraham, Isaac, you're going. And look at this prophecy. "And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children." How long? Forever. Since 1948, we have watched nation after nation come against Israel. We have watched all kinds of political legislation to try and remove them from the promised land. They're not only there, they have expanded, and they always will be. God said it. And this is the supreme indication that we have entered into the last days. In fact, I want to show you on the screen now an amazing prophecy. And it comes directly from the lips of Jesus. Look what Jesus said right before He ascended back to heaven. In Matthew 24:30, Jesus says, "And there shall appear the sign." Whoop, stop right there. Jesus Christ said, there will be the sign. There will be one sign that stands out from all others, that the Son of Man is going to return. I don't know about you, but that stimulates my curiosity greatly. What is that one sign? And all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn. Well, go on to verse 31. He tells you exactly what that sign is. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven, one end of heaven to the other. All Bible students know the elect are the Jews. He even goes on to explain in verse 32, this is Jesus speaking, learn a parable of the fig tree. Well, every farmer knows that when his branch is tender and putteth forth leaves, that the summer is nigh. And Jesus says, so likewise, when you shall see all these things happen, know it is near, even at the door. But he doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not until all these things be fulfilled. What was that sign which would indicate that we have entered into the last days? A generation of people that shall see all the others follow. It is the return of the Jews to Israel. And shortly after that, there's the second sign, and that is the reuniting of Jerusalem. Jesus made this amazing prophecy just before he ascended back into heaven. Look on the screen. In Luke 21, verse 24, Jesus said, and they, that's the Jews, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And of course, that happened for centuries. And Jerusalem, the holy city, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Quite an interesting and important verse and prophecy by Jesus. If you read your Bible carefully, you know that this present age in which we are living, in Bible prophecy, is referred to as the age of the Gentiles. And of course, a Gentile is anyone who's not a Jew, whatever your race. And the reason that it's called the age of the Gentiles is because when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, all of you know, he came into his own, and his own received him not. The Jews rejected him as Messiah, and so God turned to the Gentiles. Now, after the return of Jesus and the rapture of the church, God is going to turn again to the Jews. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. There's going to be a worldwide revival take place during and starting during the Great Tribulation. And I'll be preaching on that next week. We're going to see what happens after the rapture. But when Jesus made this prophecy that Jerusalem, the holy city, shall be occupied by Gentiles, not Jews, by Gentiles until the end of this age. Well, what's the fact we now know? I'll put it on the screen. You ought to put it in your notes. In June of 1967, after the very famous Six-Day War, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in over 2,000 years, Jerusalem was united under Jewish authority. It's been interesting and almost comical, as many attempts have been made to drive them out, to legislate them out. But friend, you can forget it. God said it's going to happen. It has happened. And Jesus said it's a sign that my return is near. In fact, he even said in verse 32 that this generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled. I don't know about you, but if I keep hearing that statement, I think it would be interesting to me to know how long is a generation in the Bible. Well, God tells us the answer very clearly. Look on the screen. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 70. How much is that? A score is 20. 70 is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, God's good to you as he's been to me, and allows you 80, that's 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off and they fly away." I want you to look up here at me. Listen very carefully. I'm going to give you several signs today of the Lord's return. And here's what I want you to understand. Every single sign from the Bible that's come to pass has happened in the last 72 years. Could this be the last generation? Isn't it interesting that for 1,935 years from the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, none. And in 72 years, 9 decisive signs have happened that never happened before. Number 3 is the invention and proliferation of nuclear weapons. The invention of and the rapid increase of nuclear weapons. Look on the screen at another prophecy that God put in 2 Peter chapter 3. "But the day of the Lord will come." And we learned last week, he's coming as a thief in the night when you least expect him. But what's going to happen? Here's what it says. "In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And of course, then he exhorts us by saying, "Seeing then that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person shall we to be in our holy behavior and godliness?" And here he comes back again and says, looking for, being prepared for that coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, the universe shall be on fire and dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Look at this prophecy in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. This is what God says. "Then there shall be a plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the people who are going to fight against Jerusalem next week." What's going to happen? Their flesh is just going to melt off their bodies as they stand up on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue consume away in their mouth. Look up here. Ladies and gentlemen, for centuries, scorners have mocked those prophecies. And to be very transparent, we believers didn't have an answer. I first started in the ministry, I couldn't explain those verses. But let's put down fact number 3. The revelation of the atomic bomb in 1945 with all of its massive nuclear heat. And as we have seen pictures of what happened, horrendous pictures of what happened in those cities and to the people where they were dropped. We are not any longer in darkness about this prophecy. And when we now realize that the A-bomb has been replaced with the H-bomb, and there are literally bombs out there that make the A-bomb look like a July 4th firecracker. Truth. And I checked this for accuracy this week. There are 13,865 known nuclear warheads in the hands of 9 known nations of the world. Now, these are the ones that the UN knows about. Only God knows about the others. And every one of those nuclear warheads have missiles, planes, even submarines, with the capabilities of delivering these destructive weapons anywhere they are so designated, that consume cities, states, even civilizations. Most intelligent people fear that someday one of the leaders of these countries is going to cross the line and release this arsenal, and World War III is going to lead straight to Armageddon. But let's just suppose that world leaders do continue their restraint in the so-called Cold War. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation after believers are raptured and good people are gone and the Antichrist takes over government, economy, and the military? This prophecy of the world being destroyed by fire is no longer a source of scorn. Sign number 4. The invention of the internet and the World Wide Web. I know you millennials know what the WWW is. World Wide Web. You say, Pastor, how in the world does that fit into Bible prophecy? Prophecies in the Bible could not come to pass without it. Let me show you one on the screen right now. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, we read about a coming event, and I will tell you that it's an event that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation after the rapture of the church. But nevertheless, it's written in the Word of God, and it was written over 19 centuries ago in the book of Revelation. No way to explain it except God said it. Well, let's read what God said. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony." Okay, who is this they and there? This is referring to those two prophets of God that are going to be prophesying during the Great Tribulation. And notice what it says, "And the beast that ascended up out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and shall kill them." And look at the next verse. "And the bodies of these two dead prophets shall lie in the street of that great city," which spiritually, it's called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations," in other words, the whole world, "is going to see their dead bodies 3.5 days lying there in the street and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves." Look at the next verse. "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over their death and have parties and send gifts one to another." I know you millennials don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You've never lived without the internet. But when I read here in the Word of God that gifts are going to be sent all over the world instantaneously, that did not happen before WWW. It took weeks to get gifts anywhere. Nobody watched things happen instantly around the world until the internet. Look at the next verse. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of God entered into those two dead prophets, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them which saw them. And they, the whole wide world, is going to hear the voice of God from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Well, God said this was going to happen, but can God keep His promise? Well, put in your notes for a fact. The internet was launched on April the 30th of 1993. Suddenly, people are able to see events happening live around the world. Something that no generation before had the capabilities until this. Sign number 5 is worldwide evangelism. I want you to notice the prophecy of Jesus in Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now, this prophecy is especially significant because it comes in that chapter in answer to the disciples' questions, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And it's very interesting that one of the signs, Jesus said, of the end of the world is when the gospel has been preached into all nations. Not some, not the majority, all nations. Let me show you another amazing prophecy. This is pretty deep, but it's so profound. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse 25. He says, for I would not, brethren, speaking to believers, that you would be ignorant of this mystery. Something that at that time no one has seen yet. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Do you remember a few moments ago when I explained to you that in the Bible, this present age is referred to as the age of the Gentiles? And Jesus made this statement. When the gospel has been taken into all of the world, He didn't say everybody gets saved. But what He said is that the message of salvation must be carried to every nation in the world. And He said, and when that happens, Jesus is going to return, and the age of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. Just to whet your appetite for next Sunday's message, look at the next verse. And after this age is ended, all Israel shall be saved. Well, let's come back to today. What are the facts about this prophecy of worldwide evangelism? As I preach this morning and you watch this message live on June 14th, 2020, there are missionaries in every country in the world. The internet reaches into every country in the world. Radio, technology, aviation has made it possible for people to be transported for careers in missions or short-term missions. On top of that, the printed word has carried the gospel into all of the world, and no other generation had even the capabilities. They had the vision, and I think some of them did a better job than we're doing with what they had, but no generation had the capabilities until this generation. I checked just this week with this wonderful ministry that has headquartered here in Orlando, Wycliffe Translators. Did you know that they have translated the scriptures, the Word of God, into 3,384 different languages of the world? which covers 6.9 billion of the 7.7 billion people living in the world today. And they are diligently working on that last little part that have not yet received it. This has never happened in any generation before. Sign number 6, apostasy. Falling away of many Christians. Look, if you will, on the screen again at some very relevant scriptures. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now that's what God said 2,000 years ago. And then there will be that man of sin, the Antichrist, who will be revealed, the son of perdition. I'll talk about that more next week. Look at Matthew 24:24. An amazing prophecy straight from the lips of Jesus. He said, "There shall arise false Christ." Yeah. People with different plans of salvation. False prophets. Preachers preaching untruth. And will show signs and wonders. What's that mean? Great followings. Huge followings. Big, massive buildings and technology. Rich. Famous. Insomuch that if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. Can you believe that there are believers today who possess the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and have gotten caught up into cults? Into untruth, just like Jesus said. In fact, look at Matthew 24:12. Again, the words of Jesus. He said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The love for God and love for truth has died in some. Beloved, in the last days, before Jesus returns, we are told that there's going to be a simultaneous turning to God and turning away from God. Concurrently, simultaneously. Look on the screen. Acts 2:17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." In the last generation, that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And watch this. "And your sons and your daughters," what's that tell you? Both genders. "And they shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." What's that tell you? All ages, both genders, an outpouring of God's Spirit. And beloved, we are seeing that prophecy fulfilled right now today before our eyes. I think you are aware. And if you're not, you need to be aware. There is a movement toward God that is crossing all racial backgrounds. It's crossing all age groups. It's crossing gender barriers and economic groups. There is a passion for God and for His Word and for truth. There's a revival taking place, and missions are being expanded into the world. People are wanting to get back to living by this book. And every Christian says, "Praise the Lord." But at the same time, there is a group deliberately desecrating this book. Espousing and spreading all kinds of heresy. And ladies and gentlemen, don't get comfortable. It's happening in Orlando, Florida. It's happening in America. It's happening all over the world. And it's crossing all races. People are following after heresy and lies. And we have multitudes who belong to churches, some that were raised in church and raised in the Word and raised in prayer, who are now cold and absolutely indifferent to spiritual matters. In fact, I have talked to some in recent days who are even blaming God for the messes in our world today. Exactly what God said would happen in the last days. Sign number 7 of the imminent return of Jesus. Are you ready? Giant earthquakes in many different places. I admit to you, this is unusual. But I want you to look in your Bible. Matthew 24, verse 7. Here's what Jesus said. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, diseases, and earthquakes in divers places. Now, why would Jesus make such a statement about the last days? First of all, because it's true and it was prophetic. But let me show you something that's very amazing now that we understand that this is indeed a definite sign of the Lord's imminent return. Look on the screen at Romans chapter 8, an amazing scripture in verse 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together." All of creation is suffering because of man's sin. And all of creation is ready to be recreated. That's what it says. And not only they, look at verse 23, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Since you are out there by yourself and you won't embarrass yourself, is there anyone else who has looked up in the past few 13 weeks and said, "Maranatha, even so, Lord, come, I'm ready"? Isn't that interesting? It's in the Bible. Yes, we learn to be content. We learn to overcome evil with good. But buddy, there is inside of us sometimes, "Oh God, I'm ready." Now, this makes us realize sometimes something that we have forgotten. Man's sin and woman's sin not only destroyed our relationship with God and has affected our health, sin destroyed creation. Some people don't realize that rose bushes didn't have thorns in the Garden of Eden until the fall. Yes, scientists, you want to know why the continents seem to go together in one mass? Because the earth used to be one mass. It was the flood. The Bible says it was a flood that destroyed the earth. What caused the flood? The sin of people. What else are we told in the millennium? We're told that the lion will lay down with the lamb. They won't hate each other anymore because King of Peace is ruling. We're told in Revelation 21:1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." In fact, let me see if I can just whet your appetite a little bit more. Does anyone remember what happened the day that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world? I'll put it on the screen for you. We're told in Matthew 27, verse 50, that when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and here it is, and the earth manifested itself with earthquakes and rocks rent, split open. You see, physical nature responds to this spiritual warfare. And one of the prophecies that Jesus said would indicate his return or his imminent return would be the increase in earthquakes. And in places they have not occurred before. And he said, and when you hear about this and see about it and read about it, look up and say, Maranatha. Well, what are the facts? Anyone can do the same research I have done. It's out there for anyone who wants to know. Since the 19th century, there have been 11 years of earthquakes of a magnitude 7.5 and above. That's massive. And you know what's amazing? 11 of these, all 11 of these, have been in the last 44 years. And 7 of them have been in the last 10 years. And they have occurred in places they have never occurred before. And beloved, I didn't get this information from the Bible or some religious publication. It comes from secular scientific organizations who study earthquakes as careers. They're just reporting the facts that God prophesied before they ever happened. And then he speaks about, number 8, worldwide diseases. You'll notice in Matthew 24 that Jesus speaks about pestilences, also in Luke and other places. Therefore, I want us to take just a moment and read this important discourse of Jesus in Matthew 24. Let's begin reading in verse 3 and just read very carefully with me. It says that as Jesus sat up on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when these things shall be. What shall be the sign of thy coming?" See that? What shall be the sign of the end of this age? And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Yeah. But don't get troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And those have happened. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and here it is, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places, and all of these, he said, are the beginning of sorrow. Now, it's quite interesting again that if you study history carefully, there have been diseases, obviously, major, horrible diseases that have plagued entire cities or beyond cities in geographical locations of large magnitude. There have been diseases that have even targeted certain people. And by the way, telling the truth, factually, there was one plague that covered a continent. I know you've heard of it, the bubonic plague. 60% of the population of the continent of Europe, over 50 million people, died in 7 years. But ladies and gentlemen, look up here. There has never been a disease until this generation that covered the whole world. You want to know why it's happened? Why, even experts tell us. It's called widespread travel. And it's so interesting. Look on the screen. The prophet Daniel, 2,500 years ago, said one of the signs of the last days. I mean, put it in the Bible. Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even until the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Isn't that interesting? 2,500 years ago, God said one of the signs of the end is that people would just be traveling all over the world, here and there, to and fro. This virus that is plaguing our world today, all experts know it came from another continent to this continent. And it did not come by people on foot, airplanes. It came from one state in America to another state because of the ease of travel. I've spoken to members of our church who have loved ones that are sick in Haiti and Jamaica. You know how it got there? People traveling from America going there. Now, before you start sending a bunch of emails, I'm not mad at the airlines. I'm not mad at travelers. I'm not mad at any country. I have traveled often over the last 41 years, and as soon as it's safe to travel again, my bags are packed. I'm going to be carrying the gospel into all of the world as long as I live. But what I am trying to say truthfully, this never happened before. In 2,000 years since Christ went back into heaven, and yet it's happening right now today because of technology. There are things happening in our generation that have never happened before. In fact, we're told that some of these signs have existed for centuries, but it's only a few that have come in this last generation. I mean, if you read history books, wars and rumors of war, that's not new. False prophets, that's not new. They were in the first century. But the Bible says there will be a generation which will see many things happen that no other generation did. And when you see it happen, put down your newspaper, turn off the television, look up, and say, Maranatha, for your redemption draweth nigh. Sign number 9, and I close today, is a movement toward a global economy. I want to show you one more scripture before we close today. And I want to say again, I want to preface it, it also is after the return of Jesus, after the rapture of believers, and the Antichrist is taking over the earth. Again, we'll talk about that some more next week. But for the purposes of this message today, I want you to look on the screen what the Bible says. Keep in mind now, God wrote this in the Bible 2,000 years ago, and we're seeing it fulfilled in our day. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who's the him? The Antichrist. Those whose names are not written in the book of life. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth that had two horns like a lamb and spake like a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast that was before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. For your information, that's the false prophet. What does the devil want? He wants to be worshipped. Well, during the Great Tribulation, after the rapture of the church, he's going to have his way. But here's what I want you to see for our message today. Look at verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak. Stop right there. Don't go any further. Don't you think of a giant computer? What other generation had the ability to take an innate object and cause it to come to life like a robot? Let alone be able to speak. Who would have ever thought objects could talk to you? Some people tell me their car talks to them. I'm not riding in a car talking to me. You go into businesses today and you receive instructions from a computer. You know, tells you where to look. I mean, if you really get lost, just pick up your phone and call Siri. Alexa. GPSs. I rode with people and things that stop here, turn here. Whoa. And you know what? Our generation just takes this for granted. Oh, that's the way it is. Ain't that neat? Could very well be the preparation for that prophecy. But let's read on. It's not done yet. And verse 16 says, and he causeth all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads that no man could buy or sell, only he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Once again, I want to remind you that this is during the great tribulation, but it's telling us that the Antichrist is going to take over the economy of the world, and no one can buy or sell without this mark. And next week we'll find out that it happens to be a person and the numbers are his name. But can I ask you a question? Who in the world would have ever thought that cash would be useless? I can't speak for the millennials, but I grew up being told money can buy you anything. Can I tell you something? There's coming a day very soon when money will buy you nothing. You won't be able to buy or sell anything without a mark. And that mark damns you. And he goes on in verses 18 and 19 and even gives us the clear indication who this Antichrist is. I want to say this, and I'm closing today. The purposes of this message is drawing to a close. But ladies and gentlemen, if you think for one moment that the return of Jesus is the end of the world, you better be sure you're tuned in next week, unless he comes before we get there. Many people, even many Christians, foolishly think that when Jesus comes back, it's all over. Oh, no. In fact, the return of Jesus is just going to take away all believers, and those who are left behind are going through a time of tribulation unlike anything the world has ever known. You think it's bad today, you have seen nothing. If you think it was bad in World War II, you've seen nothing. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be a time unlike anything the world has ever known, and people are going to want to die and cannot. I'm going to teach you next week about what happens after the rapture. But today I feel very strongly led by the Holy Spirit that I am preaching to someone who is not prepared for the return of Jesus. I don't know who you are. But the Holy Spirit told me early in the week, and again this morning in a very intimate moment, someone is listening, or going to be listening to this message, who is not prepared for Jesus to come today. I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, but God had you hear this message so you would understand that His return is very near. And this Bible tells us clearly in 2 Thessalonians 2, that no person who has ever rejected Christ in this age of grace will be able to be saved after the rapture. It's an important decision that you're making. I feel very strongly led by the Holy Spirit that I'm preaching to some believer today. You're not living the way you should. And if Jesus came back today, you wouldn't be left behind. But you would be so ashamed to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ living the way you are living. And that is why God tells us to live in such a way that we will have confidence and not be ashamed when He appears. And it may just be that someone was invited to listen to this message today. Maybe just God's providence led you to hear this message. And you want to be forgiven of your sins. You want to be 100% sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're ready for His return, and you're ready if He doesn't return to enjoy the rest of your life on this earth. And I can tell you that Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And wherever you are right now listening to this message, I want you to just bow your heads, close your eyes. And if you want to be 100% sure that you are ready for the Lord's return, that you have Jesus in your life for the rest of your life, pray this prayer to God sincerely right now. If you want to pray out loud, do so. I encourage that. But if you're at least bit intimidated, pray it silently. God knows your heart. But just pray and tell God something like this. "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I do believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. All of them. Come into my heart right now and live forever. Take control of my life and give me a home in heaven when I die. Jesus, I mean this prayer with all of my heart. I want to be ready when you return." Now I want you to look up here, wherever you are. If you prayed that prayer right now, I want you to pick up your phone and call Grace Bible Church of Central Florida. We're not going to harass you, bug you. Our number should be on the screen right now. I want you to call one of our counselors and tell them what you did. If you would like for us to send you a Bible or to send you some material that would help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we'll send it to you free of charge. I've never sold a Bible or any religious material. If you want to help, let us know. And tell that counselor what you've done, and they'll be so happy and will encourage you. And if I'm speaking to someone right now who's still under conviction, you didn't pray that prayer. Maybe you've already accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you know you're not living right. And right now you're saying, "I'm so tired of living in fear. I'm so tired of living in guilt. I'm so tired of living in worry. I want to be ready for the Lord's return. And I want this peace that He promised me. I want faith that He's going to be with me through this and take me to heaven." Why don't you call someone right now? 407-578-2085. Call someone right now and let them pray over you. And if you would like for even me to call you this week, I'd be happy to if you'll leave a number and your name. We're just going to pray for our counselors and for you to make that call right now. But don't go away. I've got something very exciting for you to see before we leave.
I encourage you, go ahead, make that call. Tell one of the counselors you gave your life to Jesus today. Most important decision you'll ever make. Tell one of them you want to do that. You say, I didn't pray a moment ago with the pastor, but now I'm ready. They'll help you. They'll guide you. Say, I'm new in town. I'm looking for a church home. What do I need to do to connect? Just call that number. All right. Grace Bible Church, look up here. If you want one of these shirts Patty spoke about, you can go online and order one of them today. And I think they make a very needed statement, and I'm very proud of these. I want to ask you, use Grace Bible Church hand sanitizer. Keep it with you all the time. Put on your mask. Practice social distancing. I want you, first of all, to get ready for when we reopen the church and we can come back together. And I also want you to be safe and healthy until we are able to be back at the church. And tell others about our Facebook and about our website, and encourage them to join us next Sunday morning as I preach again about what's going to happen when Jesus returns to the earth. Now, hang with me for another 5 minutes. Not me, but what we're going to show you. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been so blessed, and I am so grateful for a team of people that have worked so hard during this pandemic, not just on Sunday, but all during the week, to prepare messages of hope and inspiration. I believe it's kept our church connected and visible by means of the internet. And I have asked Brother Lawrence if he would put together a PowerPoint so that all of you out there could know about those group of people that have helped your church during this past 13 weeks. And I want you to stay tuned and watch those people that have put so much into every week behind the scenes, or it would not have happened. And then as soon as that little PowerPoint is over with, we have a 1 minute PowerPoint about Vacation Bible School. Bible school starts not tomorrow, but the following Monday. And I want you to spread the word by virtual learning. It's still not wise or safe for our children to come back to church. But we're going to get the word out to them just exactly like we have been doing to adults and young adults. So stay tuned and watch these PowerPoints. Invite someone to watch the message next week as we talk about what's going to happen when Jesus returns. Not only on the earth, but what's going to happen to us up in heaven. God bless you. Stay safe. I miss you. I love you. Can't wait to see you.
Free.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, team. Don't leave us. I want you to see this next important announcement. Spread the word. Go. Doing it by virtual learning. Please take time to register and tell others about it. And be sure to invite others to join us next week as we continue this exciting series on the last days. Brother Berman, bless us.